This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 3 o'clock, and that means we are talking money in a daily segment called Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. Today, no millionaire, but a retired chemistry professor. Her name's Bev Pestel. Welcome to the show, Bev. Why the heck does a retired chemistry professor care about the tax code? Hang on one second, Bev. We got to make sure everybody can hear you loud and clear. Let's try it one more time. Why does a retired chemistry professor care about the tax code?
Because I'm a citizen. Got me?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. And when I retired, I decided to move back to my home state of Wisconsin and come back to my roots of living outside a small town in rural Wisconsin. And I found out that the state that I left over 50 years ago isn't the same. Mm. And the rural areas in where I live, there are unmet needs. And it's because of what the legislature tells us, there's just not enough money to serve the needs. So when I got a card from a group called the Patriotic Millionaires that invited me to come and get a free meal and listen to some talks on the economy and the tax code, I decided that was well worth my time.
What did you discover?
Well, I discovered a lot that I wish I didn't know now. We've been hearing from Warren Buffett for a long time that he pays less taxes than his secretary. So we knew there were problems with the tax code, but I didn't know that it was as bad as it was and that there were so many loopholes and that there are huge corporations paying absolutely no taxes. All things that your listeners now know all about because you've been covering this now for some time. So the Patriotic Millionaires gave us a real learning experience in just what the issues were with the tax code and how until we fix that, the economy can't work for everyone. And if it doesn't work for everyone, it doesn't work for anyone. So that's why I got involved. So at the end of our 5 sessions of information from the Patriotic Millionaires, they simply looked at us and they said, okay, go to work. Hmm. And we kind of went, okay. and so we started having meetings and trying to decide how we could organize to spread the message and what kind of messaging we could use that would resonate with the local residents in rural Wisconsin. And we decided that starting with taxes probably wasn't going to be the place for us to go because that wasn't going to resonate. That wasn't going to catch people's attention. But what does catch people's attention is the things that got me, and that is so many needs in our rural areas that are not being met. So what we decided to do is to start a group, and we call ourselves Economic Equity Now. And it's a grassroots effort of the Patriotic Millionaires. They got frustrated as well, not being able to make any progress in Washington in getting the tax codes changed. So they decided to get some of us out here in the rural areas aggravated and doing some politicking out here on changing the tax code. So Economic Equity Now is focused on, we decided that the best way that we could make an impact in our community would be to focus on our unmet needs. So we decided to use the messaging recommendations of Annette Shankar-Osorio. Mm-hmm. She makes such a compelling case that you always start with your values. Start with your values.
Let me jump in, Bev. What are the values? Pretend I'm someone in rural Wisconsin. Pretend you're talking to folks in rural Wisconsin because you are. And tell them, what are the values that we share as Wisconsinite, and why are they not getting, why are those not being expressed in tax policy or the way that we've organized our economy? What are our values and what should we be doing and asking for that's different?
Well, a good representation of that is the first piece of literature that we put out that we actually distributed at 12 different parades over the summer and distributed 4,000 of these over the summer. And what we did was we came up with a graphic that said, we deserve nice things, which is also goes back to Annette Shankar-Osorio. And then around that message, we put the leagues. We all deserve fully funded public schools.
Yes.
We deserve affordable childcare. We deserve affordable housing. We deserve broadband. I'm broadcasting now from the library because I don't have good enough broadband at home to broadcast from home. We deserve paid family leave. And when you send that message out to people, they will look at that message and go, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the next thing is to get them to recognize what the problem is. So
what is the problem, Bev?
Well, we ask our people, why don't we have these things?
Yes.
And actually what happened here in Wisconsin, the legislature made our job there really, really easy because we get people to focus on the fact of why in the world did our Wisconsin legislators take all of these things out of the governor's budget and instead tried on three separate occasions to put in tax cuts for the rich.
And so wait a minute, Bev, are you telling me that Republicans in the state of Wisconsin took out funding allocations in our most recent budget for childcare, paid family leave, and fully funding our public schools, and instead proposed tax cuts for the rich? Is that what happened?
Yes, they did.
What were people's reactions to that fact?
Well, that's where things get a little bit interesting, because once you've introduced the problem, then people have to recognize that it's the legislators that we've been electing that have priorities that are other than ours and serving our needs. And so instead of taxing the rich in order to collect the resources to fund our needs, they are continuing to try to cut taxes for the rich. But now here's where it becomes troublesome. A lot of people buy into that. But then you get people that all of a sudden, when they hear the tax the rich message, they go, oh, that's not the message of my clan. And now things get a little bit more complicated. So even though that message resonates with a lot of people, there is a certain cohort out here who recognizes that, whoops, okay, I agree with you on the values. I agree with you on the needs. But now that you make it political and say that maybe the party I've been voting for is the one that might be the problem, now things get a little bit iffier and a little bit more troublesome. So messaging is a huge issue for us.
So in addition to thinking carefully about how we talk about these things and beginning with values, how is your organization Economic Equity Now helping to reach people? And a lot, I think for a lot of folks, it's the first time they've heard this information presented in this sort of clear way. And you have to give people time with new information. How is Economic Equity Now, in partnership with the Patriotic Millionaires, helping reach people whose interests aren't being served, but who continue to vote against those interests?
We're trying to get as much information out as broadly as we can. So in addition to passing out this literature at parades, we have put up billboards. And what we're using on our billboards, especially in the Richland County, in our area around Richland County, is we're focusing on the loss of UW Richland, because that is something that really grabs people in a hurry, and try to get them to recognize that the reason that it closed is not because of mismanagement from the UW system, although that may be true, but the bottom line is cutting of resources for years and years and years and years. And that didn't have to happen. And if we could get our legislatures, instead of pulling resources away from us, to tax the rich and corporations at an equitable level, that's all we're asking for, just an equitable level, there would be money to fund these things that we're losing and that are hurting our economies. Richland County is devastated by the loss of UW Richland, not only economically, but emotionally.
Yes.
It's been huge. And so we use that to try to attract people's attention. Be a voter and think about who you vote for. And the message of taxing the rich is one that needs to resonate with people. And we've also bought radio time and radio spots that we have on our local station here in WRCO. And we're also broadcasting on a number of the civic media music stations around
yes.
the state.
So important, reaching audiences that may not naturally be inclined to pay attention to this. So important. Is Economic Equity now a partisan organization? Do you go out and endorse candidates?
No, we don't. That would only make our mission more difficult. To be honest, you have to kind of sneak up on people, okay? With getting them to recognize we have these needs, and there's no reason these needs can't be met. Okay, and now carefully begin to realize maybe the reason that they're not being met is that we've been voting for the wrong people. Mm. And maybe we need to start thinking about that. At that point, it becomes troublesome because now there is only one party that's talking about taxing the rich. The other one is all about cutting taxes for the rich. So it becomes, people recognize it becomes a partisan issue. When it shouldn't. It should be a common sense issue of everybody should be paying their fair share. But we've been brainwashed for so long that if you tax corporations, they're going to take their jobs and go away, that they're the job creators. No, they're not. Okay. Or if you tax the rich, then they're just going to take their money and go away. We've got hurdles to overcome in the messaging that's been used in these rural areas for so long that politicians have used as an excuse for not providing us the right resources that we need and not providing the tax reform that we need in order to serve these needs. So when the Patriotic Millionaires came to town, I was happy.
Folks, that's Bev Pestel, a retired chemistry professor, originally from Wisconsin, moved back here after she retired, took a look around and figured out, hey, we got unmet needs in her rural community, just like yours. We got to fix the tax code to start to meet those needs. Thanks so much, Bev. Where can folks find out more about your group, Economic Equity Now?
You can follow us on Facebook at Economic Equity Now. It's a mouthful, isn't it? Economic Equity Now. Okay. We also have an email, economicequitynow@gmail.com, where you can communicate with us and let us know if you want to join us and see if you can help us spread this message.
And that's
so thanks, Maggie.
Absolutely. Economic Equity Now at Gmail. Folks, reach out to Bev. Talk about the very sexy tax policy problems that will help unlock your future, your kids' future, and secure our today. Thank you so much, Bev. I appreciate you. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by actress Jenny Slate. Don't miss it.
Thanks for listening to Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of Civic Media and the Patriotic Millionaires. For more information, go to patrioticmillionaires.org. And be sure to tell your friends. The Patriotic Millionaires buy advertising across a number of civic media stations.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You've potentially seen her in The Lorax, maybe even the most recent film, It Ends With Us, on SNL, Parks and Rec, and one of my favorite recent movies, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Her name is Jenny Slate. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Jenny, really happy to have you. Hi, Jenny, are you there?
Oh, yeah, can you hear me?
I sure can. It's so great to have you. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Maggie. I'm so pumped to be here.
So pumped to have you myself. First of all, thank you for all of the laughs over these many years, as well as your dramatic performances. One of the things that I hear from my friends frequently when they ask me about politics, because I do this for a living, is I'll explain something, right? And I'm a lawyer too, and I'll sort of weave in my lawyer stuff, and they say, thank you, that's great, Maggie. I don't study this stuff day in, day out. It makes me nervous to talk about it. You're an actress by profession. This is not your wheelhouse. Why are you going into your place of discomfort talking politics, even though that's not your expertise, your sweet spot? Why are you putting your neck out there, Jenny?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would say that a lot of people would say, like, well, I'm not like a political person or whatever. But the fact is, we all live here in the United States, and that means that we have choices about how we want to live. And I am so grateful and excited about what Kamala Harris is bringing to us as a candidate and what she stands for. Like, just genuinely a candidate who is going to protect our fundamental freedoms. And I'm really, really focused on protecting reproductive freedoms, reproductive rights. I'm grossed out and freaked out by the idea of the government telling me what to do with my body. And it's just, the time is now. And I'm also really inspired by, you know, Michelle Obama saying, like, do something.
Yes.
And I am trying my best to do what I can to provide the world and life that I want, you know, myself and especially my little daughter to have, and everyone, you know, like, that's why it does take courage, I think, to speak about things that you're like, yeah, I'm not an expert on it, but I'm certainly an expert on my own life. I'm certainly an expert on the fact that I live on planet Earth and I don't want it to, like, explode or melt and, you know, not any more than it already is. And a lot of it is just like, how do you come from the heart and tell people that it's time to vote, that Kamala is the person that is going to get us on that new way forward, and it's going to feel really good. And already I feel good doing it.
Oh, Jenny, thank you for that. I mean, speaking from the heart, not being afraid of it, I think it's more valuable when it's not what you do every day, right? When it's not in your comfort zone and you go out there and you, Jenny, or you, the listener, the person that's listening to Jenny and I talk right now, you may not be an expert about it, but just like Jenny, you are an expert on your life and you can speak from your heart. You mentioned a couple of really big issues, Jenny, and I wanted to drill down. You talked about your daughter and reproductive freedom and climate. You know, when it comes down to it, I think a lot of us, there's a number of issues that float to the top of our minds. But if there had to be one fundamental motivating issue for you, Jenny, what is it and why is that so important to you?
I think it is the reproductive freedoms, you know, making sure that they're protected. And not just that, but making sure that Trump's extreme agenda and Project 2025, which, you know, is like his sick, weird fantasy of just having, like, total control, it's something that we have to stop. It's a real thing. It's very dangerous. And I want to go to bed tonight and every night knowing that I did everything I could to choose a future. And I think that's generally, it's just like really, really gross and odd and weird that a bunch of people would want to regulate what women do with their bodies and deny them care. And I'll do everything I can to try to prevent that. And so will Kamala.
Yes, I hear you. And I think, you know, in this moment, there is such a stark choice. And I hear from everybody, even conservatives, even some of the people I know that may be supporting Donald Trump, that they do want change. It actually is one of the things that's motivating them to vote. And to me, when you think about it in that construct, it's like, well, there's only one person that's actually going to help us move forward from here. So Jenny, let me just say this. Thank you for your courage, for stepping out of your comfort zone and into this political forum. There's a lot of folks from Wisconsin listening right now that probably have seen you and Bob's Burgers and love your work. If you're speaking directly to folks in Wisconsin that may not have voted yet or maybe still undecided, what's your message to them, Jenny, as like not a political expert person, just to another regular person?
You know, what I would say is that every single vote counts, and that I think, you know, Donald Trump and the strange dark lords that accompany him really want you to feel that you're isolated, that like it doesn't matter, you know, and that is couldn't be farther from the truth. Every vote is so, so powerful. And you have the power right now to vote for the future that you want for you. And to also just, you know, to choose a leader who seems stable, who seems like they are actually a leader and not like a strange person swaying to YMCA, you know, for a half an hour. It's just like, that is a weird, weird thing. That is odd. That is not okay. And I don't want any more of that. I want an actual, serious, brilliant, cool, kind leader. And that is why I am voting for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And I hope everyone else will too.
Thank you so much, Jenny. You take care of yourself. I've said to people for a long time, you may not mess with politics, but politics will mess with you. Jenny Slate, yeah. Jenny Slate, folks, SNL, Parks and Rec, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Lorax, It Ends With Us. Go check out her work. Thanks so much, Jenny.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back, y'all. Welcome. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, Republicans, y'all, are up to it once again with what I'm going to call the normal way to make law work around. The normal way to make a law in the state of Wisconsin is that you introduce a bill, either in the Senate or the Assembly. And then you eventually make arguments about it. And there's hearings and committees and all that good stuff. And then eventually you adopt, the Assembly adopts the bill. Then the Senate adopts a bill that might be similar or identical. And then they try to make them exactly the same. And then it goes to the governor's desk. And the governor, you know, the democratically elected governor, who the majority of Wisconsin voters selected not once but twice, decides whether he's going to veto it or sign it. And if he vetoes it, the state legislature gets a shot at overriding the veto by a supermajority of a vote. But Republicans don't like that, you know, because it requires the voters to actually have their will expressed through two houses of our government, two branches of our government. So Governor Evers has vetoed or has threatened to veto these so-called citizenship provisions that Republicans have been talking about. And so what they decided to do was, you know, bypass the normal process of how a bill becomes a law. And they just go to the referendum. Now, just, I'm not going to get into the explainer about this, but like, this is interesting, right? Because they're trying to amend the Wisconsin Constitution to require proof of citizenship. We'll talk about why that one is completely and utterly unnecessary by every and all measures, and that all of this is garbage. It's made up lies. We do not have a problem with non-citizens voting. I repeat, we do not have a problem with non-citizens voting. We've never had a problem with non-citizens voting. The system works. They caught some in Pennsylvania. The system works. The Cato Institute has studied it. It's a real conservative organization. We do not have a problem with non-citizens voting. It is already illegal. Except in very few local elections for things like mayor or dog catcher, and none of that's what anybody's actually worried about here. So they're bypassing it to go to a referendum to change the Constitution. It's interesting, like, we can't just have a referendum and, you know, protect women's rights to control their body. No. Like, Republicans aren't worried about doing that in the state of Wisconsin. We're not going to put that on the ballot. No. We're going to put in this thing that sounds like it might be a good idea, but actually isn't. So I want to talk about that. Your input and comments, always welcome. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. This is bugs me. So let's get into this. There's a very helpful explainer about the proposed constitutional amendment that the University of Wisconsin has put out. Okay. So it's the State Democracy Research Initiative. If you Googled that, Wisconsin Democracy Research Initiative, University of Wisconsin, whatever, proposed constitutional amendment. So here's what the proposed amendment that you'll see on your November 5th ballot says. Shall Section 1 of Article 3 of the Constitution, which deals with suffrage, be amended to provide that only a U.S. citizen age 18 or older who resides in an election district may vote in an election for national, state, or local office or at a statewide or local referendum? You read that and you would think that our current state constitution permits non-citizens to vote, right? It's like, well, shall our constitution be amended to provide that only a U.S. citizen may vote? That's what it says. You read that and you're like, well, obviously the current state of the law is that a non-citizen may vote. That's not the case. That's why this is stupid. As the University of Wisconsin puts it, a Wisconsin voter who is not familiar with the state's constitution could reasonably infer from this ballot question that the current version of the Wisconsin Constitution contains no mention of citizenship or that it affirmatively authorizes voting by non-citizens or those under the age of 18. But that's not true. Here's what our Constitution currently says. Every United States citizen age 18 or older who is a resident of an election district in the state is a qualified elector of that district. In case y'all missed that, our Constitution already says that you have to be a citizen to vote in our elections. Already says that. And federal law already makes it illegal for non-citizens to vote in all federal elections, including House of Representatives, the Senate, and President. Again, already a thing. It's already in our Constitution. And again, non-citizens not allowed to vote in our state elections either because our state constitution prohibits it. So this constitutional amendment will practically, like from a change of the law perspective, not do anything. So why are they putting it on the ballot, you might ask? Well. I mean, hazard a guess. And again, I think sometimes you got to zoom out and be like, well, which party seems to be the party that's constantly trying to put in all sorts of new reasonable sounding, they always sound reasonable, requirements on voting? It's always the Republicans. Here's the why, right? I'm not going to like make you wait for the punchline. Yes, it's racist. It's of course that. Yes, it's ageist. It's of course that. Yes, it's ableist. It's of course that. Like, pick an ist or an ism. It's those things. But why are Republicans engaging in racist voting practice, ableist voting practices, genderist voting practices? Right? Wait a minute. I know conservatives that are nice people, and they're not, they try not to be racists or misogynist. So why is this a thing? Why do they have to lie about why they're doing it? Because of this, okay? It's really simple. Republicans lie about who's voting and the need for these kinds of voting protections because they want fewer people to vote. And the fewer people that vote, it becomes more likely for Republicans to win. And it's not just fewer people voting. They want fewer Democrats, fewer people who are more likely than not to vote for Democrats to vote. Okay? So it's to win elections, to remain in power. And what's underneath that is this simple reality. Any poll, pick one. As long as it's an objective, decent poll, not run by a hack job, we'll show you this. Two things. Our country becomes more diverse, racially, religiously, all that stuff, every day. Demographically, that's where our demographics are going. We're becoming more diverse. And in conjunction with that, we can argue about cause or effect. I don't care. It's not necessary for this analysis. But as we're becoming more diverse in all sections of our country, but some sections of our country more than others, namely urban centers and states with larger populations, more diverse more quickly. What's also happening nationwide, and it's in different microcosms and pockets, but nationwide, our policy preferences as a people are becoming more progressive. And I mean that both in the political sense of the word, but also in what we're demanding that policies actually accomplish. And that is, we want government and elected officials that serve working people and middle class folks, that support education and childcare and elder care and paid family leave, and that provide family supporting jobs. We want human dignity. We want healthy communities. The vast majority of Americans think, of course, women should have the right to choose. And so our country is moving towards a more pluralistic place. We go to church, mosques, synagogues, and other houses of worship less than we did before. That doesn't mean that we're losing our moral core. It's that we're finding community in different places, less traditional places. We're finding community through music and culture. We're identifying with greater and different kinds of community. Our world is expanding. And as a result of that, we want to see policies that work for more of us, not less of us. For more of us that work for a living and less of us that don't work for a living because they got $1 billion or a huge trust fund. And I'm not talking about a trust fund that helps you buy your home and helps you pay for college. I'm talking about the billionaire type of thing. I'm talking Eric Hovde, 100 millionaire kind of trust funds. I'm talking Tim Michaels kind of trust funds. So to recap, the demographics of this country are becoming, we are becoming inexorably more diverse, not less. Groups that have been historically shut out of boardrooms and oval offices and state houses, all of the halls of government and Wall Street, groups that have not had access to all of the institutions that make up our American lives, political, economic, and social, religious, all of us, those folks, we have greater access. Our world has moved to become more just. I know that's, thinking about it in the context of this election sounds crazy, but this is the why. This is why Republicans have to cheat. We're more progressive. We want more for the middle class. We want more equity and justice. And we're more diverse. And folks can't win when they actually talk about the issues truthfully. And so when you can't win on the idea, you have to lie about the idea, or at least play a little shell game with it, like, oh, it's not really what you think, and look over here. Got to lie about your ideas, and you got to make it harder for more people to vote who are less likely to vote for you. So make no mistake, everybody, this ain't about, oh, well, the Wisconsin Constitution currently allows non-citizens to vote. No. And research by the very conservative Cato Institute indicates that the occurrence of non-citizens illegally voting in the United States, because it's already against federal law and it's already against our state constitution for a non-citizen to vote in a state or federal election, we don't need this amendment. Yeah, non-citizens illegally voting in the United States, according to the conservative Cato Institute, accounts for less than, get your pens and pencils ready, less than 0.0001%. That's 0.0001%. So this is not a thing. We don't have to worry about non-citizens illegally voting. It's about making it harder for people who are more likely to be brown and black, female, elderly, disabled, students, and Democrats to cast a vote. That is all it's ever been about, because they cannot win on the issues. I challenge you. You are a Trump voter. You think you are a conservative. Go to the Washington Post. They've got a little policy primer there. Take the quiz. Because what they do is they remove D's and R's from behind policies, and you say if you agree or strongly disagree. Because the majority of us support the policies of Kamala Harris. We come back. I'm going to talk more. Let me just say this. Vote no on that dumb constitutional amendment. We do not need it. They're lying to y'all. I'm going to take your calls. We're going to have more discussion. I'll talk a little Hovde. All up next here on this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your host, Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Gonna do my PSA for the day. Make a voting plan. Make sure your friends, family, coworkers, etc. have a voting plan. Do not forget, you can leave part of your ballot blank. If you're like, I don't know what that register of deeds thing is, just leave it blank. It's okay. Your ballot will still count. Second PSA, it is not a quiz. It is not a test. You can bring whatever materials. You can bring a human being, person that knows a whole ton about this stuff into the booth with you when you want to cast your vote. It is not a quiz. It is not a test, though it is a test of our democracy. Last but certainly not least, a guy that is a chief election inspector in De Pere, Wisconsin, wrote in to Civic Media to say that in De Pere, they will not accept in-person absentee ballot drop-offs on election day at any random polling place. They must be dropped off in De Pere, at least. If you've got an absentee ballot that you're dropping off in person on voting day, in De Pere, they got to go to the city hall. So just make sure, up until November 5th, you can usually drop off an absentee early in ballot in person. You can drop it off yourself at one of the early voting places, any of them. But if you're doing it on election day, there may be additional restrictions. So again, just be sure you know what you're doing. Check out myvote.wi.gov and give yourself a little extra time. You want your vote to count. We're going to go to the phones and the text lines in just a moment. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I've been talking about this dumb, totally unnecessary, scare tactic, fear-mongering, ageist, racist, ableist, misogynist constitutional amendment that the GOP bypassed the normal lawmaking process to get on your November 5th ballot here in the state of Wisconsin. It will sound reasonable. Don't let that fool you. It is already illegal in the state to vote if you are a non-citizen. But all of this stuff, all of this crap that I'm talking about, yeah, they got to lie. They got to make it harder to vote. It all has its roots in Jim Crow. Okay? And like Republicans will defend this stuff. Oh, the majority of people think this is a good idea. Guess what the majority of Americans also thought was a good damn idea? Jim Crow laws. Voter suppression has always been best accomplished in this country by things that sound superficially reasonable. You know, like a civics test. We got to make sure the citizenry is educated and understands our governmental system before they vote. Well, why should you vote? You don't have any kids. You don't have any stake in our future. Why should you vote? You don't own land. Why would you care about government policy? Why would you vote if you can't pay the poll tax? Because you don't have enough money to matter. So why does public policy matter to you? It has always been stuff that sounds superficially reasonable that actually had a discriminatory, invidious purpose. That has been the legacy of racism and institutional prejudice in this country. And at the time, usually a majority of Americans thought that stuff was a good idea. I don't like tyranny of the majority. So, with that said, let's go to the phones, folks. It's Maggie, a lady with my most favorite name, on the horn from Madison. Maggie, what's up? What do you have to say? Maggie, are you there?
This is Carolyn.
Oh, so sorry you got queued up wrong. But Carolyn, I love that name too. One of my best friends is named Carolyn. Carolyn from Madison, what do you have to say this afternoon?
Oh, I understand. Yes, vote on that amendment. Turning every into only can open huge loopholes that trucks can drive through.
Yes, ma'am.
And take us back to only white property, white male property owners being citizens, voters. Just.
Yeah, I don't think that's
a quote.
Yeah, I don't, Carolyn, to be clear, that's not what the amendment as an operational thing will do. But what I'm saying is that the historical underpinnings, the historical context of this amendment is Jim Crow and all of these racist, sexist, richest policies of the past that were used to suppress the vote. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Yeah. And so the only voters would end up being white male property owners in the long run. If we're not careful.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's people that J.D. Vance admires and follows. Yeah, they've openly expressed a desire to repeal the 19th Amendment. Did you have another point this afternoon, Miss Carolyn?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling. Yeah, I mean, Pastor Joel Webbin, some of these Theo bros explicitly saying, let's repeal the 19th Amendment. Jack from Merrimack, we got about 30 seconds, friend. Go for it.
Picture this. There's a bunch of people standing at the curb, and it's about 100 yards walk from the curbside to the voting area, and these guys are wearing combat fatigues and such. Somebody with a Hispanic accent or what looks like they could be East Asian or something like that wants to vote, and they stop that person and say, let me see your citizenship papers, because you can't vote unless you're a citizen.
Yeah, Jack, that's what I'm afraid of, too. You put together that with the mass deportation thing and see what happens. Start rounding people up. Yeah, Not a good idea. Folks, we're going to leave it there. Dom Salvia up next. I might be sticking around with my little buddy for a little overtime with Dom. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together and vote no on that dumb constitutional amendment. Keep it locked.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.